We'll do some college football coming up in 20 minutes with our buddy Brad Powers. His early looks, his place already in. He bets earlier in the week, so we'll find out what he's thinking for the next college football slate. Joe O, Sammy P, thanks for hanging out. This is Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network. Before we jump into the NFL awards, the movement there, the notable action going on, I did want to mention Survivor. So Denver wins last night. They were a favorite. Like, they were heavily picked. Paul Aspen had them in Circus Survivor. They were the third most popular pick. So once again, the chalk gets through. And people are thinking, well, no, that's not true. The Chargers were favored by 6 and they lost. Well, not a lot of people picked them. The Packers were favored by almost a touchdown and they lost. Well, not a lot of people picked them on the road. The top 5 picks all get through. Buffalo, Houston, Denver, Detroit, and New England. I was on Buffalo, Houston, and New England. Top 5 get through. Number 6 play was the Chargers. That's your loser. Over 5% of the pool there. 7th most popular pick, Green Bay. 3.5% out there. So, Sam, we started with 18,700, and now we're at about 12,400. How many do you have shares of? How many spots in Circa?
One. Just one.
And that one is with?
Pat and Chris, 108.
It is. Okay, 108. Mm-hmm. And you guys had which team this past week? I know you already used Buffalo. You did Houston or no?
No, in this one, I believe we did Detroit. I don't know. Oh, I literally told them, don't even tell me. I don't even want to know. All I know is that we won.
Okay.
The more I get involved, we've talked about this. The more I get involved, the more likely it is that we lose. I don't even know. Okay, so here we go. I got a text Saturday at 11:18 a.m. We're on the Lions. And then I sent Lions with a wrench emoji. So, yep, we had
why the wrench?
You know why the wrench. Why the wrench? That should be a segment. Why the wrench?
All right, you got one spot. That's all you need. That's all you need. Yeah. It's crazy. It's too chalky. We're going to have a blow-up week soon. You would hope so. It hasn't happened in the first month, but I guess a lot of people are getting a bang for their buck, so they're not, like, devastated about Survivor getting bounced in week one or week two. A lot of people still alive. For the most part, I'd say a third have been knocked out. So the vast majority of Survivor pools. Do you remember last year at this point? It was like 95-96% of pools were done.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah.
It was the first 2 weeks where you just had massive favorites. Not only the number one favorite, but multiple favorites go out week one, week two. I think two of the top three went out, and maybe one of the weeks all three went out, the top three selected teams. There was a lot of chaos last year. Oh, great. What's my Splash Sports password? The hell if I know. I'm going to log in and see how many people were left in the reverse Survivor pool I'm in. I got one guess what my password is for Splash Sports. Nope, no chance. Okay, great. Awesome.
Moon 1 did not work.
Just keep me logged in. Like, who's trying to hack my Splash Sports account? Nobody. Because I'm out of college Survivor. And the Chicago media contest, I'm like 2 games under 500. Nobody needs to log in with their password every time. This is so dumb. Oh, I'm in. Second try was good. I'm in. Okay. So, many losers. I have a decision to make this week. Okay. Because I have to pick the loser, obviously. Do I take the Raiders at the Colts? Or do I take the Bengals against the Lions?
Bengals look so bad. Short week in Detroit?
It is in Detroit, I think. Yes. No, Detroit's on the road. Damn it. Yeah.
Detroit's are you really scared? Are you really scared favorite? About Cincinnati? Yeah.
We'll come back to this. We have several days. I mean, you just talked about Survivor, so naturally I talked about reverse Survivor, which apparently I'm very good at. And now I will definitely lose because I said that. Oh, no, never mind. I already have my answer. I know who I'm picking. Patriots. They're going to get blown out on Sunday night. There we go. Done.
Oh, yeah. Bills. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm done. Thank you. Moving on.
So you know the Patriots are winning, right?
Did you see the price, by the way, on Buffalo to win the division this morning? Take a guess how big it is. And whatever your guess is, add more.
5,000.
Oh, okay. All right. So you were probably going to guess it exactly. Minus 3,000 to win the division.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. Gee. Yeah, BetMGM's the highest by far. Well,
yeah, I have the list. Ben Fox tweeted it out. So here are your division favorites right now. Ravens minus 175, Colts minus 105, Chargers plus 105, Bills minus 3,000. And then in the NFC, Eagles minus 350, Bucks minus 325, Packers plus 110, Rams plus 130.
Should the Packers be favored?
Yes, but I wouldn't bet it.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota's 10 to 1. Man. That was quick. That was quick. Yeah, I know. Seahawks number took a drop right away. The way that game is priced this week, like, kind of, even though a week ago we're like, man, Seahawks undervalued. We like them on Thursday. And then the way they made the line this week, I'm like, okay, now they might be a little overvalued. People went little bit too far.
This number on the look ahead, the 11-day number in Vegas, was Seattle minus 1.5. Mm-hmm. And now we are not only out to 3, we are through 3. BetMGM 3.5 minus 102. Let me tell people and be very honest about this, that is super sharp money to knock that through the 3 on Monday. Yeah. That's, I mean, to get that from 2.5 on the reopen to 3.5 in 24 hours, that's a big push early in the week. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not going to come back, but they took some bets from people that clearly know what they're doing, and you move it to 3, and then it's like, oh, they're still betting 3? Let me get to 3.5. I'm not necessarily in love with laying 3.5, but they got to the right number very, very quickly on that game because they took some sharp pops on Seattle. Guys were willing to lay 3, so you just move it off the 3. I don't know what to do with that game yet. We got some time to think about it. But you brought this up yesterday with the awards. I don't remember, and I'm trying not to be like dramatic about this, I don't remember an offensive rookie of the year race being this fun this awesome early in the season. And you basically said that. I'm paraphrasing what you said, so I'll give you full credit on this. But if you look at that market, man, you got 5 guys that could win it easily. 5. Maybe more.
I think more.
But the range in prices, when you got 4 guys between like 250 and 5 to 1, and then your next wave of guys are 10 to 1, 12 to 1, we still have multiple months to go of this race, and things will happen. Breakout games will happen. Injuries will happen. It's all a part of it. But I have the rail up right here on our screen. Abuka 250, Genty 380, Dart 450, Hampton 5-1. How fun is this race going to be the next few weeks?
It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. And they're all producing. That's what makes it so fun. Like, if you look this week, okay, what did Abuka do? Your favorite. Oh, he just had his first 100-yard game. He got a touchdown, too. He's got 4 touchdowns in 4 weeks. No big deal. Just stepping in as a rookie and contributing immediately. He's the favorite weapon right now of Baker Mayfield. That's what we're seeing from him. Genty, when's he going to score? When's he going to have big game? 3 touchdowns against the Bears. 3 touchdowns in 1 game. 2 of them come through the air. Like, he was phenomenal. When's Hampton going to blow up? Oh, this past week. He had a great game as well. The number of running backs, too. Judkins, he's further down the board. He's the 7th favorite best number I see, a 16 to 1. But he's very much in this mix. since getting the starter's job last week. Like, he's taken over and he's getting a ton of touches. He's gotten into the end zone the last couple of weeks. Like, that anytime touchdown price is certainly going to start dropping. He's been phenomenal. Scataboo is in the mix. Like, darts ahead of him, has a shorter number, but you have two rookies contributing on offense to this Giants team, and now they're out there all the time. First couple weeks, not so much. Now it's all Dart and Scataboo out there. You know, the name that it feels like got the hype before the season, but is not going to win it, is Cam Ward.
No.
Cam Ward can't win this award, right?
Neither will Travis Hunter, and that was a legit debate from some people that Travis Hunter is going to be the offensive rookie of the year. And I thought, no, not going to happen. Not going to have enough reps, yeah. Enough snaps. Now, they're not even targeting him. Like, he's not even getting targets. So I see Travis Hunter 50-1. Cam Ward, just a prisoner of a horrible situation. And, you know, it's tough to think. You know, we talked about Minnesota and dropping McCarthy in a great situation with the coach and the line and the weapons and all that. And Minnesota's had its fair share of injuries for sure, including the quarterback. But we talked about how great the scenario was for McCarthy. The situation Cam Ward was dropped into, it's difficult to be in a worse spot for a young quarterback. And it's not to say that Cam Ward is a bust, because that's ridiculous after a month of games. But they have really nothing in the coaching department and the development department. And reporters were already calling out Callahan, the coach. There was a really funny exchange. What are the two words he uses? Every coach has buzzwords, right? It was resilient and something else. It was two R's, resilient and can't remember the second word. And the reporter asked Callahan after the last game where they didn't score, "Are you still resilient and blank?" And he's like, "I know what you're doing, and I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to say something I regret." Or something. Like, all right, this guy's gone. The press is already turning on him. You know, it's so bad. But the weapons aren't great, and the O-line is already falling apart. I feel for Cam Ward. He's going to get a lot of crap. It's not his fault.
All right, I have another offensive rookie of the year name I need to throw out there that we haven't talked about before. And I was watching this game very closely because I had a survivor play on it as I was getting frustrated. Week number one, this guy was only out there for 11% of snaps. On Sunday, he was out there for 56% of the snaps, and he was contributing. He was making an impact. Woody Marks is 75-1. Texans running back. He got more usage than Chubb. I think he passed him up this weekend. And if that continues to be the case, maybe they run the ball, stick with their defense. Nico Collins, when needed, third and long, like they converted like a third and 30. Like, it was ridiculous against the Titans. But I'm kind of thinking, only because of the number, as wide open as this race is, Woody Marks might be worth a play. Just saying.
I'm still kicking myself I didn't listen to you on Jackson Dart, so I might have to go down the barrel on Woody Marks.
Woody Marks. It sounds crazy. But like you said, there's months left. And what if the Texans turn it around and they're leaning on the run game with him and he gets a lot of run? Like, I could see it. I could see it where he jumps in. All of a sudden, he's part of the conversation. It, like, your guy Hampton, he had a big game, but it took a little bit. Genty had a big game, but it took a little bit. One big game, and then the narrative completely changes on Mark. So maybe I want to say it's going to be tough, but it's also wide open. Like, there isn't anybody that everyone is chasing right now. This is going to be fun to track. But, I mean, that's the one that stands out to me. I don't know that I would chase anybody. If you really – is Judkins a horrible number, 16-1? No, it's not a horrible number. It's fine. Problem is, if you're going to be bad and on a bad team and you're the running back, it is tough for you. But I hope Judkins keeps it rolling, obviously, because I have a ticket on him.
Yeah.
Anybody else worth discussing here?
No.
Henderson, what's the chatter there? like he got he's out there more. I don't know.
They like him. Will Vrabel stick with him, though? I think that's what they're trying to figure out.
Yep.
By the way, this morning, the MVP market has Josh Allen plus 110. BetMGM.
Big gap. Big gap between Josh Allen and everybody else. After that, it's, you know, guys like Jordan Love fell. We saw a lot of that this weekend. Brad Powers, college football plays on the other side, the BetMGM Network. Let's talk some college football with Brad Powers at Brad Powers 7 on X. Hit the Books podcast with Joey Kanish, my condolences, and covers.com. You can see a lot of Brad's work over there. Brad, haven't talked to you in season yet. How's the year been treating you?
Yeah, we're doing all right. We're a little bit up on Hit the Books podcast, a little bit up on the bankroll personally, so I can't complain. Better than James Franklin, I can tell you that.
Oh, my God, dude.
You said, though, coming into the season, just give DeBoer some time. This team is loaded. And you were on the high side of Bama, and I think you took a lot of unfair crap after the first game against Florida State. But then they go into Athens, healthy, mind you, healthy at running back, healthy at receiver. Kalen DeBoer now is a dog. We gave the stat yesterday. 10-2 ATS is a dog. 9 of those games he won outright. I think he's unfairly critiqued, and I think anybody that was saying Bama was dead after week one clearly was overreacting to that. What did you see Saturday that impressed you from the Tide?
Well, obviously, you know, the game plan from the get-go, super aggressive, which I wasn't shocked by, but I was shocked by the execution of it. Those two 14-play drives to start off the game 14-0 were super impressive. But also when they needed a drive before the half, they got it. That, you know, that's good coaching, you know, the final 4 minutes coming out. And then they weren't able to capitalize coming out of the second half because of a terrible missed field goal. But that was also, it goes to coaching, the middle eight, like the coaches like to talk about. And then, hey, when you got to end the ball game, you got a third and medium, schemed up a throw and a play called and ended the game. So, obviously, DeBoer outcoached Kirby yet again, 2 years in a row there. And let's see, though, how Alabama can handle expectations now, because they haven't handled it well under DeBoer. Every time they've had a big-time performance, they've kind of laid an egg. And they got, speaking of eggs, their biggest egg of last year was the team that they're playing this week in Vanderbilt.
No doubt about it. So let's jump there. Laying 10.5 against Vandy. Revenge on their mind after a big win against Georgia. What do you think?
I bet Bama. At a number that I never thought I'd ever see, like 9.5. I think 10 is still good. I mean, my power rings have it closer to 14, so I mean, it's still showing value at 10.5. I would wait, though, if you want to bet Bama. I think there'll be plenty of Vanderbilt buyers out there. You know, statistically, Vanderbilt's a superior team, but what a lot of the math guys don't fully grasp or fully have, you know, baked into their model, at least well enough, is strength of schedule. Big disparity here between the two teams. So I think the fact that Vanderbilt beat Alabama last year makes Alabama more focused than usual this year. Otherwise, you know, if it's a typical spot and they'd beaten that, you know, Vanderbilt 25 times in a row like they did coming into last year's game off of the Georgia, it's the same scenario, then I see and understand the Vanderbilt money, but I don't this year. I think Alabama would be focused here. I don't like going against Diego Pavia too much, but Alabama's clearly the superior team, laying a very reasonable number.
You are right about DeBoer, though, with the competition part of it. They play up to competition and also play down. Like, they beat Oregon that 1 year twice and then almost lost to Oregon State and Stanford.
Yep. Okay,
but you beat Oregon. So it's always been weird when that guy's been a sizable favorite. I'm nervous about this game, and I told Joe this. As somebody who has a lot of Miami to make the playoff stock and Carson Beck stock, I really wish Florida State didn't lose to Virginia. I was like, damn it. I was hoping they were going to ride in, you know, feeling good about themselves, but they lose on Friday. And they've had the extra day to prep for Carson Beck in Miami. I think that Notre Dame performance doesn't look as great, considering Notre Dame's defense isn't what a lot of people thought it was, and USF is nothing special. When I throw Miami -4 at you against Florida State, what's the reaction?
A fair number. I do think Florida State's the right side this week. The thing I'm most confident in is Mike Norvell's going to outcoach Mario Cristobal. Can Florida State hold up on both sides of the line of scrimmage? Because what I am confident in is Miami's got one of the best O-line D-line combos in the country. They're off a bye. I mean, if they just play their game and don't do anything stupid, which is a big if with Crystal Ball, then, you know, Miami walks away with a win. But my gut's telling me Florida State, you're going to see an A-plus effort out of Florida State. And keep in mind, A-plus effort beat Alabama at home by 14. So I lean Florida State in this game. Bet a number that's no longer available. I mean, the market's all over this one.
All right, you've got the Notre Dame hat. Let's go to that game going up against Boise. I'm a Notre Dame guy as well. I was not expecting that performance this past week. The money came in and moved that number down against Arkansas to go on the road and just dominate for the entire game was impressive. Now you're laying 20.5, but maybe the total is more interesting because, I mean, we identified it very early. Anybody with two eyeballs did as well. Like, oh, Notre Dame's an over team. They're a way, way over team. This is very different than a year ago. 64.5 the total against Boise.
I don't know how you can. I bet over. I don't know how anything that you've seen so far this season doesn't lead you to the over, not only Notre Dame side, but Boise side too. I think their offense is just fine. I know I had that struggled in the opener against South Florida, but that was turnover based in that game. Defensively, I don't think Boise is good as what they were. And then obviously Notre Dame's defense is taking a step back. Offense is as good as I've seen from Notre Dame last few weeks ever since following them the last 30 years as a fan. So over for me. I bet Arkansas last week. I obviously got my teeth kicked down my throat, but I didn't think I'd see 20.5 with Boise State. So I again, am going against my beloved Irish. That's a big number to lay against a proud Boise program that should have beaten Oregon last year outright, getting 19. And then I didn't cover against Penn State, but they moved the football mats and turned it over, but they only lost by 17. I mean, Notre Dame can be super impressive in this game, win by 17, and I'm still winning my Boise bet.
No doubt. Penn State. Where do we start? I mean, the same thing over and over again. Can't win the big ones, but then blow out the teams that you should blow out. And now they're laying a price on the road, 25.5 at UCLA. Awful team. Tough for me to get behind Penn State after being behind them on Saturday, but I think we all know what's going to happen here, right?
Yeah, I haven't gotten the window yet. I can only bet Penn State. I mean, the most confident thing I'd be in is, you know, they come out fired up and really crush UCLA. I will say UCLA upgraded with their interim. They looked more functional than at any point this season. Last week against Northwestern, they could have rolled over. They're down 17-0. You're thinking, ah, it's over. No, I mean, they fought and clawed their way back into that game. So I don't think it's a layup for Penn State as far as covering the number, but that's the only way I could go. I mean, it's insanity, though. I mean, for him to have so many opportunities to beat a top five program, they had everything in their favor last week, could have prepped for that game all offseason considering who they played in the first three games of the season, and to really be very fortunate that the game went to overtime because for 47 minutes they were dominated. Should have been down more than 17-3. Just inexcusable.
With Brad Powers here on Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network, Brad Powers 7 over on X. What do we do with Texas laying 6.5 against Florida? Low total, 41 in the hook.
Yeah, I'm on the under. You'd have to, for me to get back on the over, it'd have to be a 3 in front of that total. So the most confident thing I am in is Texas's defense. So maybe now, once that market becomes more widely available, maybe a Florida team total under. I can't lay points on the road with this Texas offense. I mean, just too inconsistent for me. And Florida, I mean, it's all about – with the Florida games, the last couple of games, it's all about what's their mindset. Are they going to – you know, we're going to have one of these games where they know they have a lame duck coach and they just roll over and die. But as long as they continue to play hard on one side of the ball, I think Texas offense is going to struggle. So I did bet the under here.
I love asking you this question because you know ball and you follow it better than almost anybody I know. Who's the best team in the country right now?
That's a good question. I mean, it's not by any significant margin. I would lean towards Oregon right now over Ohio State. So that would be 1-2 there. Going back to that Penn State game, Oregon should have won that game with a little bit of margin. It was unfortunate that they didn't. So I think that was, you know, an inexperienced team. I wasn't wild about them coming in this season, but they've looked the part. Dante Moore looked the part. So Oregon for me. I will say There's three teams that I've been super impressed with. I mean, obviously, the Buckeyes are right there in the mix. Alabama had a big road win. But the three units, Oregon as a team a couple times has impressed me. Miami at the line of scrimmage, O-line, D-line. And then I'm not a homer because I'm betting against them this week. But Notre Dame's offense, what they did to Arkansas, I mean, that's what elite teams do. As a five-point favorite, I mean, you score four. In a period of five quarters with C.J. Carr, they scored 14 touchdowns and 15 drives. I know it's just Arkansas and Purdue, but that's what you do against like an FCS team, not Power Four programs.
People are going to be screaming because Notre Dame's going to make the playoff again?
I mean, on paper they should, but I mean, still go out there and win, but they're going to be favored in every game. As long as if they keep playing like they did against Arkansas, then they will be back in the playoff.
We've asked you a bunch of games. Is there a game that you want to talk about on the show?
My biggest bet this week, I like Cincinnati against Iowa State. I think you got the better team at home. So anything under three, I mean, that's flipped, you know, from dog to favorite, but I still like Cincy there. I was super impressed with what they were able to do against Kansas and finally getting a breakthrough close win. Not a big Satterfield guy, but finally breaking through and getting that. I like Cincy this week. I think Iowa State's a little overrated.
All right. Brad Powers with us here on Bet Sweats. So, it seems like it happens every year. All the guys that got hype in the Heisman, almost none of them are near the top anymore. Every week the favorite has changed. Now it's Dante Moore and Ty Simpson, the two quarterbacks that won the big games over the weekend. Those are your top two favorites. Anybody that you have, anybody that you like, what are your overall thoughts on this Heisman race?
I think the appropriate guy is favored now, Dante Moore. And if I had to pick a Heisman winner, it would be the favorite, him, because they're going to be a legitimate favorite. I like him against Indiana next week. So I think he furthers his grip on the Heisman, so to speak. But I mean, some people disagree with this, but I do think it is a November award. I like, you know, Jeremiah Smith's not putting up big numbers, but you guys tell me this. If he has a big game against Penn State, if he has a big game against Michigan, if he has a big game against like an Oregon in a Big Ten championship game, I mean, he'll be your Heisman winner. Same thing I could say about Julian Singh if he has big games in those. So I think it still is wide open. The Heisman voters don't watch college football until, you know, the final few games and weeks of the season. So, again, I'll stand by it. The favorite has flipped in each of the last five Heismans in the month of November, in each of the last 5 years. So it's a better question to ask me in about a month.
Yeah, we want the answer now, though, unfortunately. We want it right now on September 30th. You're right, though. I mean, 2 years ago, you could see the Jaden Daniels train coming. And then you and I were texting early October last year about Travis Hunter. You can see that force coming. I don't know who it is yet, but you are right. You've been able to really pinpoint it. Once the calendar turns to late October and by November, we've been able to really have a good idea the last 2-3 years.
Yeah. And the market really has no idea. Like you guys mentioned at the top, it flips every week. So I don't think it's going to, the only way it flips this week is if I lose my Alabama bet and Mr. Diego Pavia leads Vanderbilt, then I'll write up. Then he'll be the favorite coming into next week. So let's let it settle. I know everyone wants a bet now, but give me a few weeks.
Yeah, you read our minds. We were talking about that earlier on in the show about Pavia. Like, look, not just this weekend, but look at his next month. Like, he could easily be the favorite in another week or two. Do you think, I know it didn't happen last year, but that was an outlier. Are we at a point now where, okay, you mentioned Jeremiah Smith, so maybe not a quarterback, but come on, you got to be in the playoff. We got 12 now.
Yeah.
Do you have to be? Like, would Pavia have to be in the playoff?
Yeah, I mean, if they lost three games, I mean, they're in the playoff. If he loses, you know, two games at 10-2, they're probably still in. So, I mean, yeah, I think so. Because if he loses three games, that's how people roll. I mean, Hunter's the exception, not the rule. So, he got to at least win 10 games. In fact, if you average the regular season win total for the last 20 Heisman winners, it's like 10.9. So, yeah, you got to be on a contending team.
I did see a stat before we let you go. I saw that Colorado has more retired numbers under Dion than wins against ranked teams. And I thought that's just,
wow,
it's so funny. And I don't know, how does this keep happening in Colorado? How does it keep happening with the clock management? And like, it's a very weirdly coached team late in games, is it not?
Weirdly or poorly?
Poorly. Let's go poorly.
Yeah, I know maybe you're trying to not get your social media riled up, but it's a very poorly coached team in crunch time.
Brad Powers at Brad Powers 7 over on X. Check him out, covers.com and the Hit the Books podcast. Brad, thank you so much. Best of luck this weekend, all right?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Good stuff there from Brad Powers on the upcoming week. And, yeah, he's trying to get us calmed down a little bit on the Heisman. I certainly understand where he's coming from. We give the weekly update, but he's right. He's right. Look down the stretch. I'm starting to worry about Beck, man.
I know.
So we'll see if that force is coming. You just need a win this week. Just worry about winning this week. All right, World Series MVP looks. That is on the other side. Joe O. Sammy P. Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. Big surprise there that Jake decides to use a Jackson Merrill highlight there. Okay, let me understand where he's going right there with the World Series MVP. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. This is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. MLB playoffs start today. So what better time than now to start with the World Series MVP? Maybe it's something you want to wait on completely. When we hit Jorge Soler on this show a couple years ago, it was as this World Series was starting. He was still 40-1. We gave our case, and we got a little bit lucky on that one. And sometimes people bet it during the middle of the playoffs. They see how things are progressing. They pick a team. They like a certain amount of players. Or you can look at it right now, and this is the best number that you're going to get. As teams get eliminated, as the playoffs move on, every single name that is still alive is going to get shorter and shorter and shorter. But if there's a player that you like out there, they go down in a series, maybe you'll get a better number as well. A lot goes into it. Sam, I think one place to start is talking about what we've seen in recent years. And the one thing that stands out to me, it is not the best player on the champion. You don't want to think of it that way. Sometimes it's lucky. You got to have clutch moments. Just the numbers, those big moments coming through for your team that wins the World Series is what does it. I mean, there's no perfect, you know, way to project this stuff. A lot of it is random and the right matchups and everything. Last year was Freddie Freeman. He wins for the Dodgers. Was he the best player on the team? No, of course not. Before the playoffs, we know that Freddie Freeman's not the best player. He's an awesome player, but he's not the best on that team. When Texas won, it was Seager. When Houston won, it was Jeremy Pena. We mentioned Soler. Seager won it when he was with the Dodgers. When Strasburg did everything for the Nationals in their World Series run, he was your World Series MVP. You're in Boston. A guy named Pierce won it. Who? Would he be recognized on the street today? There, yes. Most places, not. So it isn't necessarily the best player. Like, it's finding value. I will say, though, it is someone that bats in the top four, top five in the lineup usually.
All that said, where are you at, Paul? How do we feel about this one? Ready? Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper time.
To do what?
Okay.
MVP.
If you said Nick Castellanos, I was going to walk out of this show.
No. No. Harper. Harper time.
Why are you not fully against this? You are fully against the Phillies winning.
Yeah, I'm not betting it, Joe. But I mean, if you're going to buy the Phillies, like, it's Harper or Schwarber, right?
Schwarber has a smaller number. Schwarber, actually, at BetMGM, they're the same. Depending on where you look, Schwarber has shorter odds. But at BetMGM, wow. Schwarber's third on the list with Harper and Judge. So that's how the market starts. Otani, as we know, is the favorite. Duh. +7.25. Cal Raleigh, 11. Schwarber, Judge, Harper, 16. Trey Turner, 25. Julio, 25. Yelich, 25. It's a lot of Phillies in there, Paul. I'm just saying.
And after next week, a lot of tickets to burn. I mean,
I can't get them there. All I want to do is get them there. I just want him to get there, and he's not interested.
Seen this movie so many – Penn State, same deal. Seen this movie so many times before. I'm good. Same lineup. Okay. They're running it back with the same people.
Let's start here. Let's give our World Series list. Let's compile that. We're in San Diego, right? Like, that's one of our teams. Is there another team or two that we like, preferably with a little bit of value, but to win the World Series in addition to San Diego? It doesn't have to be an AL team, but, we would like it to be. Where else are we looking? Because that's where it starts. Which team is going to be in the World Series, and then we work from there.
I'm somehow drawn to this team. I don't know why. You know how sometimes you know that's what you want for dinner. You walk into a restaurant with no plan, and then you see, oh, prime rib sandwich. I'll have that. Sometimes it just hits you at a weird time. Toronto. I like Toronto.
Toronto.
I don't know why. I just do. Yeah, Toronto.
Somebody tell you something about Toronto?
Like, you've got this smirk. Actually, that's what happened. Somebody said bet Toronto, so I did.
Really? For the World Series?
To win it all, yeah.
Wow. Okay. I wasn't expecting that, but look at what they've
done. I wasn't either.
What they were able to accomplish. Okay. Boy, that would be a scene if it is Toronto. Okay, if we're, Jake, if we're looking for Blue Jays, I don't even know if you're behind this idea. Where would you go?
I'm anti-Blue Jay, anti-Bird. I can't get there with the rotation. Jose Berríos, the ghost of Max Scherzer, Shane Bieber in his one arm. I don't know. If you want to buy Toronto, I mean, Springer is the one that I immediately, like, that's the name I'm immediately drawn to. We know he has postseason success from Houston, obviously. Everyone's going to want to bet Vlad and Bichette if he comes back. I wouldn't hate a Dalton Varsho look either. Elite center fielder, ton of power upside. He could be good for a couple clutch homers. If you wanted to buy Toronto, I don't personally. I would go Springer or Varsho. I could be the idiot, and we know my East Coast bias, but I really like Boston. I do this every year, and I'm going to do it again. The bet is already in the account. I didn't hover. I just hit it. Alex Bregman, 150-1. Like, wow. I do it every year.
Again.
I always bet him, and I'm going to do it again. Like, I
still?
At 150, my eyes popped out of my head like a Looney Tune. I also have a 500-1 if anybody wants to hear that one.
God.
Okay.
He's 100 at BetMGM, so you got a good number at 150 for sure.
Let's go back to what you said about Toronto. Vlad at 25-1, never in life.
Never.
Varsho, you've got me at 150. Like, yes, everything you said. I'm not saying I'm buying Toronto, but if we play that card, like having a Varsho ticket at 150-1, that would be phenomenal. And San Diego, I said at the start, so let's pay that off. Jake likes Jackson Merrill. Explain why. San Diego, we like them for the World Series. We think they've got a chance, and Merrill would be your pick on that team.
Yeah, he's also 150-1 right now at MGM. I'm staring at it as we speak. That one is also in the account. I'm a big Jackson Merrill guy in general. Again, elite center fielder, elite outfielder. So you have the defense there. He's in the top half of that lineup. He's just fits the bill of not the best player. But, I mean, this is a guy that almost damn near won Rookie of the Year last year. Like, he has star upside. And if we like San Diego, we think they can make a run at a big price. He's somebody whose number will come crashing down. And everyone's going to bet Tatis, Machado, because they're the stars. But we talked to Stephen Pierce, Jeremy Pena, Jorge Soler, Jackson Merrill.
Yeah. I saw Hembo, who is Greeny's producer at ESPN, Paul Hembakidis. I really like him. He's a great follow.
He's good.
He put together a list of playoff teams against other playoff teams. And San Diego this year, second worst playoff team against other playoff teams. 24-34 against playoff teams with a -47 run differential. Did not want to see that yesterday morning. No, sir, did not. But what's done is done on San Diego.
Yeah.
Woof.
Exactly.
Woof.
What was your Bregman number?
150. And Sam said there's still 100 there. I still triple digits for a guy who has won a World Series, has been in MVP conversations for the regular season, which I know it's the regular season, but He's a star. He's a bona fide star, and I like Boston. I like them to get to the World Series at least.
Wow.
At least.
He said at Jake's least. Jake's got the Don Orsillo World Series, Red Sox and Padres.
Well, I do think that there's a chance we're all just idiots and overthinking it, and it's just going to be the Dodgers, and they have a million guys on their team that could pop out of nowhere. Went way down the board. 500-1, can I interest anybody in Kike Hernandez?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I got new ball with you.
That's the kind of name that's the kind of name that wins this award.
Yes.
Yep.
100%.
Yeah. Man.
And when they buzzsaw through the Phillies on their way to the World Series. And like, he's just kind of a dick. And like, that's, I mean, he is. Like, he's a guy that can win this award. That's very well known. I think it's very well known. But
is that why he's 500? Because nobody's going to bet on him? Nobody likes
him? I guess. Apparently his personality is being taken into account with the price.
Yes.
Maybe.
Say you know, Suzuki. Kind of weird. 100-1, Joe. Right there for you. Come on and get it.
Never in life.
No. All right, Jake, do you have your list then? Because you've thrown out a lot of names, a lot of prices I like. Guys in the hearts of lineups that, you know, that helps. So you're Merrill?
Andrew Vaughn?
I'm not. Are you?
Brewers, never.
No. Never. I know, even this year. I'm like, oh, one seed? That's cute. Get out of here.
Yeah, see ya. See you later. I mean, Merrill, Bregman, Kike Hernandez, those are my guys right now. My list for the World Series is short. I think it's going to be – I kind of think it's just going to be the Dodgers, and we're all way overthinking this. But I think it's going to be Dodgers or Padres. And out of the AL, honestly, the Red Sox are the only team I like. Never the Yankees, never Toronto. Like, does anyone really think the Tigers or Guardians are doing anything? And never, ever the Mariners. Never.
Here's my counter to that. The three teams you just mentioned are on the same side of the bracket, so pick one. Like, pick one to get through, and then you just got to get through the LCS. And like I was going to say, we have not mentioned the Mariners once.
Yeah. Never.
Yep. I thought about it.
It's not going to be Julio. Yeah. Pick another name.
Julio number stinks. The Julio number stinks. Yeah. Rally, same thing.
If you like the Mariners, the only person I would look at would be a Rosarena.
All right.
That's your guy.
Good stuff. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it, Jake and Paul there. Joe O, Sammy P. Another hour to go. We'll talk some NFL with Will Brinson next. BetMGM Network.